Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the Business Marketing Club. The BMC is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. Paid search is well established now as a tool for business marketing, but to many marketers, it's still a bit of a dark art. Luckily, my guest today can hopefully help us out. He is Dan Chalton, who is the CEO of Goa Marketing. Dan, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Dave. Very pleased to be here.
Before we get diving into the dark arts, tell us a bit about Goa Marketing. What is it? What do you do?
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, so Goa is a paid search technology. So what we do is we help businesses get more efficiency out of their Google Ads spend. So it's actually an acronym, of course, because everything in digital marketing is an acronym. So it stands for governance, opportunity, and accountability.
Ah, okay.
What someone actually said to me is some of the most boring words I've ever seen put together on a slide, which was quite a negative view of it, because obviously everyone loves a bit of governance and accountability, of course. We're working with all sorts of really exciting brands, really helping. I think we're helping about 1.3 billion of paid search investment at the moment. So it's a lot of money. Of course, paid search is now the biggest marketing channel in the world as well. It's sort of, you know, was it 2 or 3 years ago, it overtook TV. It's like all areas of digital, it is complex. And it's I was at the ISBAR lunch, the president's lunch, where I think it's Peter Markey is now the new president. He's the Boots CMO. Yeah. And him and Margaret, the NatWest CMO, outgoing president, were both just talking about the complexities of digital. And to be honest, it's an absolute nightmare. I'm a digital first marketing person, and you know, I'd be one to say it's ridiculously complex. Everything's changing all the time, and it is a nightmare. Hence the reason why Goa exists.
And hence the reason for us spending sort of 15, 20 minutes talking about this area right now. And I guess one of the bigger challenges in the paid search world is it costs a lot of money and you don't know what's really adding the value. So how is it that you can account for and identify wastage when it comes to paid search spend?
Well, it is becoming harder than ever due to the whole black box approach. Lots of black box changes. That's not true. It started off well there. So there are some really easy ones that are quite frankly ridiculous. So there's a bidding algorithm, another algorithm. It's called smart bidding. So what that does is that does bid management in Google Ads. So it basically just changes the bids depending on what the situation is. I would question is how smart is a 900 euro click? So that's the highest CPC that we found recently. So one click costs I think it's 914 euros.
Okay.
One click. The lifetime value of that business is like 300, 400 quid, I think, something like that. So not quite aligned. And that's just a click. It didn't convert not ideal. So, you know, that's actually, I'm not blaming Google there, actually. That was actually the advertiser's issue. But for one click, I mean, one click date, that's over 900 euros is nonsense in terms of an ROI-based, you know, well, what is paid search? Paid search is DR, direct response. It is fantastically powerful, but you'll be, you know, I'm quite a big advocate of, I think people are spending too much on it. I think they are, you know, a lot of, you know, but it's the whole performance brand. I'm not going to get into the performance brand thing straight away. The performance brand split, but it's quite an easy attributable sort of medium, isn't it? So you want to sort of increase spend in the areas that are working when performance is going down. The black box that Google's creating as well. Well, they're all creating. It's, you know, all the walled gardens and all sorts of they're creating. It's very tricky, and it's what I spend my life focusing in on at the moment. So there's a new one, actually, a new thing at the moment, which I was doing a presentation to the ISBAR members about the other day, which is hidden search terms. So When you search on Google, that is a search term. That's what that's classified as. The actual thing that you type in, then it matches to a keyword. So people kind of think that keywords and search terms are the same thing. They're not. I'm not going to bore everyone with the nuances there. But basically what happens is Google is actually hiding a lot of search terms at the moment. So take this one advertiser. They spend £6 million a year in the UK alone on paid search. I think they spend like 130, 140 globally, £140 million a year globally on paid search. So that's search, shopping, and the rest of it. But just in the UK, just on search, they spend £6 million, right? So that's, they in their hidden, the hidden search terms, so the things that Google's hidden for privacy reasons, we could debate the privacy side of it, but it is privacy reasons they are hidden for. They're hiding about half the spend. So that equates to about 300, I think it's £277,000 a week. It's just under half, which is a lot of money. You know, £277,000 a month. That's a bit less, but still a lot of money. The CPA, so the cost per acquisition for that hidden search term report, was £46. But for the main search thing, it was £4.
Okay.
So 50% of it was coming in at £46 CPA, and then the visible stuff was coming in at £4. That is 1,060% higher. The CPCs were 600% higher. The CTR was 83. So sorry, click through again. Sorry, half the joke about the reason why we call Goa. Lots of acronyms. You know, death by acronym is digital marketing. Is it you can hide behind an acronym rather than something else. So. CPA that much higher, CPC 600% higher, CTR 83% lower, conversion rate 41% lower, and it's you know, it's pretty bonkers.
So I think you've kind of reinforced my view that, oh my god, it's a nightmare out there. There is plenty of wastage. So coming to this from the kind of perspective of the common and garden marketer, you know, what do they do? What things can they do to kind of identify wastage, would you advise?
I mean, yeah, it is, you know, that's the thing is I'm a subject matter expert, and I'm still often sort of, I'm not on top of all the latest and greatest things. Sometimes it's absolutely madness. So in terms of how the common, you know, how they could do it, it kind of depends on what kind of wastage we're talking about. So, You know, there's lots of different wastage in different ways. So you've got, if it's relevancy, so ensuring that the right creative is shown to the right audience at the right time, that's, you know, that applies to pretty much everything, isn't it? It's like seeing that, you know, where are they in their buying cycle? If it's, you know, you're trying to make them take an action, where are they in the buying cycle? What do you want them to do next versus, well, what do they want to do next versus what do you want them to do next? Obviously, if you're trying to sort of appear in a feed or appear in the middle of their TV show or whatever it may be, you know, it's again making sure, you know, what are they doing, how are they interacting. That is a big area where you get a lot of wastage, because the, you know, the audience creative mismatch is still massive, and it the thing is, the problem is it's just magnified within paid media. So within digital media, it's just, there's just a lot more of it happening. Just a lot more is magnified by a massive amount. So it's you know, whether it's a problem with high quality targeting, so is that a keyword, an audience pool, whatever it may be. Qualification. So for DR, the big one is qualification of customers. So making sure that you're attracting the right ones. Of course, you want to win the click, for the right person. So you don't want to win. You want to put people off. I thought there's a really good one actually that you, I think you quite like, was around. So the matching on Google. There was a good one the other day, which was, I saw on LinkedIn, which was the keyword was this low. The thing that matched against was low cost funerals, but actually, the search term, the thing that they typed in was how to dissolve a dead body. So, you know, that is a low cost funeral for sure. Pretty sure it's illegal. I've not double checked. I mean, you know, I've watched Dexter, but I don't know if that, what the, but it's definitely not a cost effective care home. So
not really.
There's a lot around that. And actually, the really good one, actually, I think, which would resonate with a lot of marketers, is branding through search. So a lot of people, I don't know if you've heard about this recent at all, but there's a lot in the FMCG market. So I had a client years ago who was spending well over £1 million a year targeting the word margarine. And I was just like, who's searching for margarine? You're not selling margarine. Like, what is going on here? Like, you know, yes, if you're a supermarket and they come through to your website and then they buy loads of red wine and all the rest of it, you know, all the other things that drive up the basket value and drive up your revenue and what you're trying to do. But you spend loads of money bringing them through to their website to look at your website about margarine. I was just like, who's actually looking for margarine? Anyway, ultimately, the other big things I think a lot of the time is it's a lot to do with the business area. So it's like freeing up time to focus on the things that matter. So like, you know, you get a cut, you get caught in a lot of meetings, a lot of, you know, and it, taking away from actually the things that you should be doing. So it's like, should you be, you know, optimizing? Should you be doing some more focus groups to understand your consumers better before you then create another ad or whatever it may, whatever it depends. And then I think, you know, particularly when it comes to digital or paid, I mean, it applies to all digital processes are essential. Detailed reporting, all sorts of things like that. It's like really diving into the detail. And to do that, you need to set up a framework. And, you know, to be honest, Dave, it's quite boring setting up these frameworks. And I've never been excited about the creation of them and things like that. And that is one of the things that Goa does. It's like, but I've never been overly excited about the creation of them, but I've always been really excited about the result, because then you can actually sleep easy.
It sounds like you really need structure in this world to focus properly.
And yeah.
I find on these business marketing podcasts, the one topic that I always feel is a statutory one that I have to bring in at any point, at every point in the interviews I do, is around AI. So part of the issue of wasted budget revolves around AI, doesn't it? And its use in bid strategies and copywriting.
Yeah.
What do you think should of the use of AI in marketing as it reflects your space?
In my space, it's used a lot by some ways. I mean, at the moment, I think it's massively overrated. For me, I mean, it's machine learning. It's not AI at the moment, but that's, I don't know, you can argue about that. Is it machine learning, you know, deep learning, large language models, LLMs, all that sort of stuff, more acronyms. I mean, we use it. I use it. It's great. The biggest one is you still need a human filter to make sure that you're not churning out rubbish results. So let's take, you know, for example, something I asked ChatGPT recently. I was trying to use it to help me create some content, give me some good paid search questions to ask a junior that I could give away to people to help with it. I said, give me 20. So the first iteration, I think, I don't know, 15 of them were good. 5 of them were terrible. So 3 of them were a few years out of date. 2 of them were completely wrong. But then I had to give it more iterations. So and then said, oh yeah, you know, make the output more qualitative, focus it on Google Ads, do this. And then it actually, you know, creates something really, really good. So for me, it's, you know, if we're talking, most AIs are driven by prompts and prompt engineering. So that is a big thing. Like prompt engineering, really focus it. If you're going to do it, really focus on that. Be very specific. So almost if you're looking to write a 500 word article, you need like a 700 word prompt, which I know sounds kind of counterproductive, but you can copy and paste the prompts and then it keeps churning these things out. You just change the sort of the parts of it. So it's like, I am a this, you do this, all that, all the rest of it. I've got some great things out of Midjourney and so, you know, some funny things like that side, you know. But it's also, I think a lot of people are just like talking about it and using it in a way they're like, I heard about a really big pitch recently where one of the biggest agencies in the world, like they all put in this and put in their, you know, their team requests or whatever it was. And a few of them just said that they you know, they had less than half the numbers, the team members of the other agencies, because they were using AI. And, you know, I'm sitting there going, well, what is this AI? I mean, what are you doing? What is it? What is the thing? Ultimately, you need to sit there and go, what is it? Like, what is it designed to do? What is the value it can bring? Is it going to give us better work? Often the answer is yes, it will help you. But, you know, have you seen like what's not called ghosting? What's the thing? The phantoms? Oh, I forgot. When it basically makes up stuff, it just goes, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then you suddenly go, is that true? And then he goes, oh no, I've just made that up. And it's like, okay, great. I mean, you're getting very human in that respect if you're talking nonsense, you know.
Yeah. That's a really common thing right now. I think Google's experienced a rough ride, haven't they, over the last year in terms of their use of AI. What do you think the future looks like for Google and actually more broadly for online advertising?
I mean, you know, the current narrative is it's going to destroy all the jobs. It's going to do this. Oh, it's going to do that. I mean, I think it's going to be very useful for our for the marketing industry, for other industries. And I think it's kind of like, yeah, cyborgs, maybe. I don't know what you'd like to call it. But basically, AI is not going to take your job. It's a human using AI is going to take your job. And that's the big thing at the moment. Whereas, you know, yes, it can create multiple things on, you know, it can unprecedented scale. It can make big decisions at a rate that no one can keep up with. But also, it can go crazy. It can just run off. Hmm. And if you give it very strict parameters and do it from all that side. So specifically AI, you know, yeah, it will have an amazing applications, but you need to, you know, it's a very complex world, digital marketing, and it will help with a lot of the labor intensive and menial things and taking from that side. Specifically Google, though, I think that's gonna be a wild ride. I think at the moment, you know, it's not gonna take over. I mean, ChatGPT is about to launch a search engine. I think the really exciting things will be sort of, you know, AI powered tools, which will be checking all of the details and checking all these different things that you need. But I think what will happen is the first few iterations, just like this, the thing that Google's launched, is called Performance Max. It'll be sold as improving performance, but actually it's probably generating shareholder value for other people. It's, you know, for certain businesses, you know, there's a lot of things, which will, I mean, I don't know. I've done all sorts of things. There's a really good one where you can change your upload a video and you can change your language, but then what it will do is it won't just change the words coming out of your mouth in your tone. It'll also change your mouth to do deep fake you, but it's the other language, but then also do the localization or the translation. Again, is it good? Am I terrified that I'm going to be giving myself up for fraudsters who are going to absolutely rip apart my, you know, get me go around saying all sorts of things? I mean, I don't know. I've kind of got away from the question in some ways, but I think that the future of AI and the generative things is terrifying for in some ways. But if harnessed correctly and if used well, and if we work out a way where, I mean, did you see all? I don't know if you're into football at all, but did you see all the ones with Gareth Southgate recently and all the? There's a lot of things that came that Gareth Southgate did not say. Which were kind of amusing, but then you also think it's like, well, what if that's a politician saying about
yeah.
it? You know, what if it's like Trump?
Very easy. It's a very easy tool to pervert and manipulate people's views, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think if harnessed correctly, it can be fantastic, but I think a lot of people just go, off you go. Yeah, of course, we use AI and let's see what happens.
So let's come back around more specifically to where we started this around paid search. What would you say are the changes and trends within Google right now that are impacting the deployment of paid search budgets?
Well, it's there's a few big ones, actually. So Performance Max, I briefly mentioned, right? Hmm. So Performance Max is pretty bonkers. What it does is effectively you kind of go to Google. Here it is. Just basically make my, you can say to Google, here's my website, make me a load of ads and spend a load of money for me, which can have disastrous consequences, right? So the right way to describe it. We found for a very, very large advertiser spending, I think they spent over 100 million a year on Google. They had an ad which was auto-generated by Google that was being shown as the headline, which said, behind closed doors, she is lonely. I was just like, well, that's not ideal. That's not ideal. I've seen some absolutely horrific ads in terms of, you know, it's kind of like they just look terrible, have some sort of almost like, you know, Charlie Chaplin style music playing in the background for some of the world's biggest advertisers. And we've seen a lot of money being spent against those. I think, you know, I mean, to be honest, I spend a lot of my time talking about paid search, and I often, when talking to non-paid search people, I have to say, okay, please don't glaze over. I know we're talking about paid search. I know it's not the most exciting medium, but it is really, really essential, because if you get it wrong, it can go really badly wrong. So a really good analogy I heard recently was someone said it's like the plumbing in your house. You know, you never talk about it. You don't want to talk about it. As soon as it goes wrong, it's all you talk about, because then suddenly you've got an absolute stink going on. So I think what we're seeing at the moment is there's so many changes happening, and a lot of senior people are really detached from it. And I do really feel for a lot of senior marketing people as well, people who are managing multiple channels. I mean, there's always a new platform. There's always a new thing. And it's like, what about this? What about that? And it's like, well, what about it? I don't know the real or the correct answer. Well, the answer that's going on in your head as you're scrabbling around for an answer is, I don't know what that is, or I don't care about that, or actually, why are we even talking about this? It's like a new shiny object. It's a new thing. In fact, actually, I don't know if you ever saw it, but one of my favorite ever job ads I saw was a company asking for, was it 7 years of TikTok experience when TikTok was like 5.5 years old? It's like, we want 7.5, 7+ years, as well as, so it was like TikTok, social media, it was like Facebook expert or Meta expert, L expert, website expert, CRM expert. All this, you're like, come on. Like, realistically, you can only be an expert in one of those things because it's just changing all the time. To actually keep on top of it, it's like what I always say to people when they ask me for marketing advice in terms of paid media, like when they're, you know, part of, like, if they've done programmatic, social, you know, search, whatever it is. I'm just like, look, to make sure you keep on top of one of them, don't try and learn multiple, because you won't. Like, you'll never. I was like, I did know paid social really well. I don't know, like in 2016, 17, I think I ran one of the world's biggest ever campaigns. Did this. And now I really don't know what's happening with Meta. Like, I'm sort of like, yeah, I know some of the basics, but it's changed so much. But I can say that because I don't work as a marketing person. Whereas if I am a head of media or a head of Biddable or something like that, I'm expected to know every single answer that the CFO or the CEO's, you know, throwing at me.
I think that's fair. I mean, I'm a CMO myself, and I would say that there are loads of marketing channels out there that you could choose to be able to look at. You've got to start each and every time with a clear set of business objectives and a clear marketing plan. And I think what you were talking about earlier in terms of bringing structure and focus to what you do within paid search, it has to be kind of one of the consequences of starting with that focused marketing plan. That's what everybody needs. Don't get distracted before that.
Absolutely, and do what's right for your business. So there was a very, very, one of the world's biggest advertisers, and they were trying to do sort of more B2B focused, and they were trying to do something on Snapchat in 2016. Come on, they've got to be like your target, got to be what, 45 to 60 year old people, you know, very senior people doing this. What are you doing on Snapchat? Anyway, just kept on asking, eventually got to the point, they wanted to win an award as part of their own. I was like, okay, cool, but we've also not tested, we're not doing anything on Facebook. And actually, that could be driving millions of pounds a year of revenue if we'd actually tested that. So, but then actually it turned out that transpired that their boss had been really wanted an award. So it was like, win an award at all costs. So it's very tricky. And I do really feel for particularly marketing people in-house, well, also marketing people in agencies, to be honest as well, because you're expected to know everything instantly, all at once, whatever. And it's, you know, it's just...
Very true. Dan, it's been lovely talking to you. If people who are listening to this want to find out more about Goa Marketing, what should they do?
Well, they should either, if they want to find out a bit more about the paid search space, they could look me up on LinkedIn, because I'm regularly talking about things there. But ultimately, head to our website, to goa.marketing. There's lots of really exciting things there, like our recent case study with Money Supermarket, where we helped them drive 1,377% ROI in 3 months. We're working with all sorts of the biggest advertisers in the world. And I think the main thing is what we can do is we can really sort of help you with that, bring that complex, you know, help you with the complexity of paid search, help do a lot of these things that we've talked about, you know, standard operating procedures, governance, what's the big one at the moment? Digital maturity framework, which is... but anyway, again, all those sort of things is very much where we help, particularly in the paid search space. So head over to the website, goa.marketing, and we can help you out from there.
Dan Chilton, CEO of Goa Marketing. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Dan Chilton. Thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.